As we gather together tonight, you know, I think our minds probably go back to many, many times of celebrating Thanksgiving. And, you know, we just think about how, you know, in the family that I grew up in, we would start, you know, the table would start in the dining area, go all the way through the living room. And brothers would come home, some that would be in the Navy, and others in college, and, you know, family gathering back together again. And the family grew and grew and grew until it numbers about 150 almost today, with brothers, sisters, and with the nephews and nieces, and, you know, the next generation. And those are the kind of memories that I think we all have. We think about what we did and how we celebrated, maybe from young children on up. And we're delighted that we can celebrate together here in the house of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord tonight, that's what this day is all about, amen? And so we gather to give thanks. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 for a few moments together tonight. The scripture says, rejoice always. Paul is giving some wonderful advice here to the church of Thessalonica. And he summarizes it in kind of 3 points. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 18 again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible has much to say about the subject of gratitude. Scores of passages address this very important subject throughout the Bible. In Psalm 18 and verse 49, it says this, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto the Lord. So the Bible says, even amongst the heathen, we're to be exalting and lifting up the blessing of the Lord. Look at Psalm 35 and verse 18. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee amongst much people. And so David is saying, I will praise him amongst the heathen. I will praise him in the congregation of God's people. And then, of course, Psalm 100 and verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalm 118 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. And then Chronicles 16 and verse 34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Now, friends, out of all the verses in the Bible that address the subject of gratitude and thanksgiving, I personally find none more challenging than our text tonight. And the text comes right out of 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, we've read it twice already. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I want you to consider with me, first of all, the spirit of entitlement. You know, we're living in an age where there's a spirit of entitlement. Entitlement is the belief that one deserves, that they have the ability to possess and legally possess and deserve all the blessings of life, even though they may not have worked for any of them. They live by the motto, I deserve it. It is owed to me. You know, a very successful businessman had a meeting with his brand new son-in-law. And he said to him, he says, my daughter, which I love dearly, and now I love you and I welcome you into the family. And to show how much I care for you, I'm going to make you a 50-50 partner with my business. All you have to do is to go to the factory every day and learn its operations. The son-in-law interrupted. I hate factories. I can't stand the noise. I see, replied the father-in-law. Well, then you'll have to work in the office and take charge of some of the operations. I hate office work, said the son-in-law. He says, I can't stand being stuck behind a desk all day. Wait a minute, said the father-in-law. I just made you a half owner of a money-making organization. but you don't like factories and you don't like the office. What am I going to do with you? Easy, replied the young man. Buy me out. You know, the longer one serves the Lord, the more one comes to the conclusion that what Margaret Thatcher said was absolutely true. The problem with socialism, she said, is that eventually you run out of other people's money. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, the Apostle Paul warned, he said that one of the many signs of the last days would be a spirit of entitlement, and there would be a lack of gratitude. You know, gratitude is the attitude of a thankful and humble heart. Sadly, the signs of the times can be plainly seen all around us. You know, grace before meals, if you're watching carefully, if you are in a restaurant, or even when family will gather tomorrow, grace before a meal is almost gone. The days of a warm thank you, you know, as a customer for your purchase, has almost become extinct. Expressing gratitude at home is considered by most to be nothing more than an old-fashioned and unnecessary thing. You know, I'm so grateful for the way my wife has modeled that in our family. There's not been a meal that even though she made it, she would look to me and say, you know, thank you for the provision that you've brought home and for this meal. And she would have the children say thank you often over many, many, many different things. You know, sometimes, you know, we would be out and at a restaurant and I would take out a gift card that someone had gifted us with. And even after paying with a gift card of somebody else's blessing to us, first thing we would do before we would eat the meal is we would often and usually always, you know, remember who it was that gave us the gift card and ask the blessing of the Lord on their lives and, you know, grateful for what they had blessed us with. And so John was just a little guy, and we were coming home from one of those meals, and so he was thinking, what can I thank you for? Because somebody else bought the meal. He said, thank you for the transportation. And ever since, that has been our go-away word after sharing in a wonderful meal that has been a gift card that was purchased by. Thank you for the transportation. There's always something to be grateful for, amen? How long has it been since you've thanked your employer for your paycheck? And you say, ridiculous, I've earned that. You know, sadly, there's just not much gratitude these days. The Bible tells us that pride and arrogance and entitlement, they produce an unthankful heart. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, it says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish hearts were darkened. It's no wonder then that Thanksgiving Day, a national day set aside to remember God's blessings on our individual lives and upon our nation, has been replaced by Turkey Day. To many, Thanksgiving Day has come to mean nothing more than just a time to gorge on food and then watch a lot of football. Church, let's be careful not to allow the ungrateful spirit of the age to influence our hearts and to influence our homes. Secondly, the Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances. Look at it there in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 again. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, friends, here's what I've done. I've checked this verse out. I've checked it very carefully, both for myself and for you, to see if there's any loopholes. And I could find absolutely none. Let's once again, for the next few moments, unpack this phrase. Give thanks. Now, the word give, if you were to put that into a part of speech, it would be a verb, wouldn't it? Because it's an action verb. It's an action that is given. We give thanks. We can't just merely think thanks, and that's wonderful for it to start there. But to go and give thanks means to be grateful and then to express that gratitude. It is a verb. And so give thanks, be grateful, express that gratitude. Express it in as many ways and many times as you can. The Bible says give thanks in. In, you know what that means. It is in the midst of all circumstances. That means every condition of life. Now, friends, admittedly, we all know that some conditions are naturally easier to give thanks in than others. For example, landing the job of your dreams versus receiving an unexpected pink slip. It's always easier to give blessing for landing that great job of your dreams. Or it's easier to give thanks in times of health than it is in times of pain. In times of sun rather than rain. One commentator actually said it this way. To give thanks in everything means that we are to thank God not only in great things, but also in small things. Not only in rare things, but in common things. Things that we would take for granted, in other words. It means that we are to thank God not only in present things, but for past mercies as well, and even for what is laid up for our future enjoyment. It means that we are to thank God not merely in prosperous things, but also in adverse things. Troubles, when we allow them and when God allows them to come our way, they can actually be a blessing in disguise. You know, I was thinking back of some of the blessings that have come my way, and maybe you can relate. Blessings that have come, and they were in disguise at the beginning, but as you began to unpack them, you begin to see that it was a blessing from God. I was driving down Blue Mound Road, and a guy just blew through a stop sign, hit my car, and totaled it, and that was back many years ago now. I was actually driving a 1969 Pontiac Bonneville at that time. And I was, you know, wondering, well, how am I going to get around? It's the only car that we had. And how are we going to get back and forth to church and everything else? And, you know, it was on the outward appearance, it seemed like it was, you know, a downer. It was a bad thing. But here's what happened. The insurance company, they not only paid to repair the car and after they had totaled it and then gave me the car, I sold the car and I had enough money to put money down on a brand new car. You know, in the midst of those moments when it seems like maybe it's a bummer, it's a bad deal, you know, and you're trying to figure out what are you going to do next, God has always got a plan. And he's working a plan, and that plan is for our good. I think of my oldest brother, Kenneth. Kenneth came down with a very rare blood cancer. And he fought this blood cancer for a number of years. He ultimately succumbed to it at the age of 67. He passed away. But I remember back, you know, hearing how God was working in his life during that time of illness. And it was a time, it was a wonderful opportunity for him to once again just kind of refire his spiritual walk. And his influence upon others was so great during that time that when I did his funeral, the church was packed with men and women that had been impacted by him and impacted by his testimony of what God was doing and restoring in his life. Friends, I want you to know, even in the darkest of hours, God has a plan. And God brings all things together ultimately for our good. I think of the MBA loan that we were seeking as we were building our very first building here on this site. Well, actually, we've been our second building on the site. It is now where our youth center is. And I remember we had ordered about $300,000 worth of steel that was laying on the ground, ready for erection for that first part of the building process. The whole building was going to be about $600,000 at that time. And MBA, which is Ministers Benefit Association, they had a lending side, lending to churches so that they can build. And they told us, no problem, you know, we'll take care of you. It's a done deal. And we'll just let you go ahead and order the steel. So the steel was on the site, contracts were signed. And then I received a phone call from Ministers Benefit, and they said, we have chosen to go into a time of moratorium with no lending at all. And I looked out my window and I saw the steel on the ground, bills that were now due. The banks and everybody else had turned us down. But here's what happened. The congregation, knowing that we had to go an extra step, they stepped in and raised several $100,000 more, which reduced down the amount of money that had to be loaned. And for the past 40 years, I've been thanking God that loan did not go through. You know, friends, sometimes what seems to be such a disappointment is really God's blessing in disguise. And if we're not careful, here's what we'll do. We will fix our thoughts on our troubles to the neglect of the very thousand blessings that God has sent our way. In reality, friends, our blessings have far outweighed any trouble that we've ever experienced in our Christian lives. You know, I believe what we need the most is a good dose of Paul and Silas's attitude. After having been falsely accused of starting a riot, they were flogged, they were placed in stocks, they were placed inside of a prison. And here's what it says in Acts 16 and verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And in the midst of all of this, something miraculous took place. The Bible says the earth began to shake and the prison doors opened. And as the prison doors opened, Paul and Silas would have been free to leave, but they did not. Matter of fact, none of the prisoners walked out. They all stayed. And the guard of the prison, realizing that there was something miraculous that had happened, they came, he bowed before Paul and Silas and said, what must I do to be saved? And in his life, and not only his life, but his entire family was saved that night. Friends, out of the darkest hours, God can bring forth the most miraculous things if we will just continue to see God in all that's happening round about us. And so the Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances. Circumstance of being in prison, circumstance of having been beaten, the circumstance of not knowing whether he'd be freed or he'd be put on trial and even be executed. No one understood what was going to happen next, but he trusted in God. And because Paul and Silas trusted in God, they knew that God somehow would see them through. Now notice there it says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. You know, some of the richest lessons in life are learned in times of adversity. Some situations in life, we might say they're easy, some are hard, and some are right down impossible. Remember, God's highest will for our lives is to get us ready for heaven. There is no, you know, way that we're going to get to heaven without God's mercy and grace, right? And so he gives us mercy and grace, especially during the times when we look, you know, and see there's trouble on every side. There is no stingy attitudes that are going to be in heaven. And God is at work in our lives during some of the most difficult times. He's getting us ready for heaven. Our attitudes ready for heaven. Our families ready for heaven. You know, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, there's two meanings here. The first one is that give thanks. You are where you are in the will of God. Now, some of you have come into the sanctuary tonight, and this past year has been a hard year. Matter of fact, this past week has been a hard week for some. We have some that have lost loved ones, and it's been a difficult, it's been a hard time for them. And there's two meanings here to all of this. The first meaning then is, as you are where you are, where you're at, because God's will is being done. No matter how challenging, no matter how disconcerting, no matter how painful it may be, you are where you are because God has allowed you to be there. And as Christians, we can persevere, even though we're not sure what the whole script is going to read, because we know how things are going to end. We know Romans 8 and verse 28 is absolutely true. We know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So wherever you're at tonight, I want you to know it's come through the filter of God. As a child of God, whatever's come our way, we can know that God has us right where we're at that moment. And in that moment, he's going to reveal himself. He's going to reveal his blessings. He's going to show himself strong on our behalf. And the Bible says when the dust is settled, we're going to know that all things have worked together for our good. Friend, I want you to know wherever you're at tonight, whatever's going on in your life, whatever the trouble has been, whether it's been at work, whether it's been at home, I want you to keep your eyes upon the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed upon him as the author and the finisher of your faith. He is going to carry you through. You're not where you're at without God knowing where you're at. And I'm so glad he knows exactly where we're at every given moment of time. But there's also another meaning to it. Not only is it, this is the will of God, and he says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. But also it means the spirit of gratefulness, this thankful spirit is God's will for each and every one of us. Tomorrow is only one out of 365 days out of the year. I believe that Thanksgiving ought to be part of our everyday experience, don't you? And I believe that we ought to be thinking, we ought to be looking, we ought to be seeing the blessing of the Lord and calling them out. Remember, it's give thanks. It's a verb. We don't just think it, but we speak it out. We declare the goodness of God and the blessing of God, and we thank him for all that he has done. Rejoice always. Pray continually. And then he says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pause for a moment and let's give ourselves a Thanksgiving tune-up. Let's give some gratitude to, first and foremost, our God. Let's just stand together. Let's do that. Now I want you to begin to think about the blessing of the Lord. You might be in a difficult time, but I want you to see that even in the difficult time, God hasn't changed. You know, this past year, we declared early on is going to be the year of the miraculous. And friends, in order for there something to be miraculous, remember, we said that there has to be some trials and troubles that we cannot see our way clear of apart from God. And God comes on the scene and he performs the miraculous. And so I want you to think about all the times that God has miraculously met your need. I want you to think about how many times when it seemed as though there was something to be upset about and that you could not see, did not know how it would work out. that God came to your rescue. Let's just pause for a moment. Let's recall some of those in our own mind, and let's give thanks to God. Lord, we just want to pause tonight to say thank you. We want to thank you, Lord, for the many times you have brought us through the storms of life. Lord, when we started out the year of 22, many of us had hopes and dreams that it would not be anything like the year 2020, the shutdowns, the frustrations of 21, and that 22 would be entirely different. But in the midst of it all, we've come to understand that whether it's been easy, whether it's been hard, or whether it seemingly was impossible, that you have been on our side and that you're with us and that you're for us. Thank you, Lord, for the many times you financially have brought us through. Thank you, Lord, for the jobs we possess. Thank you, Lord, for having employers that would trust us and allow us, out of the 8 billion persons on the planet, that we can work in that company, in that corporation, and that with the hands that you have given to us and the skill sets that you have invested in us, Lord, that we've been able to make a living for ourselves and for our families and to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Lord, we thank you for all the times that you have healed our bodies. Thank you, Lord, for the times, Lord, where it may have been as something as simple as maybe just a common cold, but we were miserable. In the midst of our misery, you reached down and you sent forth your healing touch. For others of us, it's been cancer, it's been heart disease, it has been crippling diseases that you have healed. Thank you, Lord, for the way you have healed our bodies. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you have provided for our families. Thank you, Lord, for the many miles, the millions of miles corporately driven by this congregation. Thank you, Lord, for safety and protection over literally millions of miles. Thank you, Lord, for the way you have allowed us, Lord, to enjoy, Lord, so much of what you have provided on this earth. Lord, just everyday life is so filled with the blessing of the Lord, the heartbeat, the breath we take, Lord, the steps we take, all of this, the blessing of the Lord. And so we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Father, we not only want to give thanks to you, we want to recognize and say thank you to those that are in our own households. For the next couple of moments here, I'd love for you just to, if you're standing next to your husband, your wife, your kids are right there, take a couple of moments. Will you do that? I want just to thank them for all that they have emptied into your life over this past year of 22 already. Will you do that? Come on. Think of some of the many blessings. Let me encourage now some of the kids in the house. And you might be a 50-year-old or 60-year-old sitting alongside of your mother or your father, which are now in their 80s or even 90s. I want you to say thank you. Kids, let's say thank you to our folks tonight, our parents, all right? Come on. Thank them for the blessings of a roof overhead, provision that's been given. Thanks for the transportation, John. Now, other family members that may be here, I want you to just say a word of thanks to them. Will you do that? Maybe some of you want to send a text. Got your phones? Come on, get your phones out. Send a text to a family member. It'll blow them away. They'll wonder, what have you been drinking? Send them a text. Just say, on this Thanksgiving Eve, I want to thank you for being part of the family. Got your text sent off? Some are still sending. Good. Probably crashed the Wi-Fi system again, but go ahead, send them on. Okay, now, last thing before we transition here. Why don't you give some group hugs, all right? Mom, dad, kids, the whole bunch. Come on. Reach out. Group hug. A group hug. We deliver, John. Almost taken down by Corey. All right. Okay, you ready to bless the Lord? Come on, let's bless the Lord together. Worship team, lead us on. Now let's read it one more time. Rejoice always. He said, rejoice in every situation of life. Rejoice always. Then he follows it up. Pray continually. Murmuring, complaining. God's not into that, all right? Prayer is different from complaining. Rejoice how often?
Always.
Pray how often?
Always.
And then give thanks in how many circumstances?
Always.
For this is God's will. Where you're at is God's will. And you say, well, I don't like where I'm at. He's going to bring you through to a better day. Amen? Going to bring you through. I watched my mother. We were traveling in Israel together back in 1973. And there were some little beggar kids that came up and were asking for money. And so my mother, being a soft heart, she got down into her purse and she got out some money and she gave to the first couple of kids. Well, another one came up and all she had left in her pocket was just a penny. Gave him a penny and the kid looked at her and went, whew. And so she went back into her purse, and to the two that were so grateful, she gave a dollar bill to. And the little guy had thrown away his penny, so he didn't even have a penny left. The lesson that she wanted them to learn simply that day was, if you're grateful for little, more will come. Amen? If you're grateful for little, more will come. But if you're not grateful for what you have, that's kind of the end of the story. Let me pray for you. Father, we are so grateful that we can be together. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you, Lord, that we do not have to do life alone, that we can have friends, we can have family, we can surround ourselves with others of like precious faith, that we can stir up the faith in each other. Lord, I pray that as we go into this next few days of celebrating your goodness and your blessing, help us, Lord, to not take any blessing for granted. Help us, Lord, to remember the smallest and the thing that is so common that maybe we would not even recall it and call it a blessing. Help us, Lord, not to take things for granted. I pray your blessing to go with each one. I pray that you'll protect and watch over the many that are traveling throughout these next few days. And I pray, oh God, that you go with them. May every home have the blessing of the Lord. For we ask it now, all in Jesus' mighty name. And every child of God said, we love you. Happy Thanksgiving. Blessings to you all.